Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our video streaming online, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube. Thanks to our friends at the Law Office of Amanda Gentry. We are live at the Bode Hotel today. Swing on by. We'll be here until 6 o'clock in the courtyard of the Bode Hotel. And, of course, you can win a pair of Preds tickets and a two-night stay in a two-bedroom here at the Bode Nashville for an upcoming game. Bode Nashville is only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium and is the perfect place to book for a Titans game, Preds game, or anything downtown. They've got plenty of room options from one bedroom to four bedroom with a full living room and kitchen. And they've also got sidebar here, which I actually just saw for the first time. Pretty cool concept.
It is a really cool place.
Bode Nashville has a neighborhood bar called Sidebar that is a great place for pre-gaming and post-gaming. Sidebar sells bar bites that you can fill up on before buying expensive concessions or grab to go while walking on your way to the stadium. A 15-minute walk from Broadway. Neighborhood bar vibe, live music every Friday and Saturday night. Trivia's on Sunday. So knock yourself out here at Bode Nashville where we are. So the Titans win yesterday, but it wasn't in convincing fashion. And I think we can all agree the Colts weren't very good. And I'm having a hard time right now because I feel like the first 2 hours of the radio show today have been kind of negative. And they did win, and they are 2-1, and they are in the driver's seat through 3 weeks in the AFC South. And this is better than it was 2 years ago where they got embarrassed by the Colts and humiliated by Jacksonville on Thursday night to start the season. And this is better when you look at that. You know, I think that Colts team is sorry even when they do get people healthy. And we should be happy about it and good about it. But here we are talking about the drama surrounding Julio Jones. And then A.J. Brown's hurt. And then I thought Tannehill was pretty bad last week. And I just feel like I've been too negative. I feel like I've been a little too negative today.
You've been awfully negative.
Has the negative been fair or unfair?
It's been fair because, like I mentioned earlier in the show, there are two very different narratives about this show or about the game yesterday, and I think they can all exist independently of one another. You can be happy about the Titans' win yesterday. You can be happy that the Titans are in the driver's seat for the AFC South. You can be happy that the Titans now have a winning record going into two fairly easy games on
paper.
All of which
I am.
Those can all be true. You can be happy about all of those things, and you can also still be discouraged by Ryan Tannehill throwing two interceptions, one of which was just completely moronic. You can be upset about the fact that A.J. Brown may be sidelined with a hamstring injury. You can be upset about the fact that Julio Jones was pulled before the end of the game. I think all of those things are true. And I think where I sit at with the Titans, that's exactly how I feel. Encouraged that they're in the driver's seat in the AFC South, definitely discouraged by some of the mistakes and sloppiness that I saw yesterday.
I mean, I think you can make an argument however you want to argue it. So whatever you want to say, I'm just telling you all what I think. You know, like what I feel or how, you know, whatever. But you can make an argument how, I mean, the Titans have a better record than the Chiefs. Like, you can make this however you want to make it. I mean, like, you can look at the AFC and say, okay, who are the dominant teams in the AFC? Bills lost to the Steelers.
I mean, the AFC's
Chiefs are 1-2.
AFC is wide open.
Denver and Oakland or Denver and Vegas, not really worried about them. The Ravens almost lost yesterday at Detroit. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't for just horrific officiating. And I was watching the game. As soon as the Titans game was over yesterday, I flipped on Red Zone. You know, because I saw the Chiefs game was close. And I just flipped on Red Zone. And I'm watching the Detroit-Baltimore ending. And I see Baltimore hit the 4th-and-19. And I saw that, and I'm like, go ahead and fire that coach. I think, you know, Detroit just never gets any better. But they give up the 4th-and-19. But Baltimore has no time and no timeouts. And they're running up there, and I'm watching the clocks at zero. I'm like, that is delay of game. I'm like, delay a game, delay a game. They don't do anything. They bring out the kicker. He makes the kick. And I'm like, wow, he made a 66-yard kick, NFL
longest ever.
But, like, they should have called delay a game. And then it was like 3 hours later, Twitter starts blowing up with, they should have called delay a game. I'm like, I was wondering where Trent Green or whoever it was that was calling that, where was, or Adam Archuleta, where was he?
I've seen some atrocious officiating so far this season in the NFL.
Titans.
Yeah.
Breon Borders took that dude out in the end zone, which should have been pass interference, and the ball should have been put at the 1 yard line, and they didn't call it. And I thought, like, CBS must. Like, CBS must have, like, told their guys only Gene is allowed to rip the officials. Because you watch NBC and they'll kill the officials.
Mm-hmm.
And CBS, James Lofton, a wide receiver, is like, I don't know. I think you could have called it, but they didn't call it. I'm like, James.
Yeah, no, duh, they didn't call it.
He tackled the guy in the end zone before the ball got there. But that's neither here nor there. But I just, here's the thing. We've all seen good football. What we saw yesterday was not it. I'm reminded, you know, a handful of years ago, South Carolina was 3-1. They beat Georgia, who was a top 10 team. And they came to Nashville and they beat Vanderbilt. And it wasn't as convincing as it should have been. And Steve Spurrier, after a win, got up in front of the cameras and just goes, well, I didn't like that one at all. I'm embarrassed by the football team. I don't think they're any good. We spent all week trying to coach them up, thinking that we were going to look like a decent team, and they returned to opening kickoff for a touchdown. So I'm going to have to coach them better, but I'm just embarrassed with the way we play, and I'm the coach of this embarrassing bunch. But, you know, it's just not very good, and we're just not going to be good this year, and we got all the voters fooled because we beat Georgia.
Spurrier could use some work.
But he said at the end of it, he said, we've all seen good football. We ain't it. And I think sometimes you have to take that approach into a game like this where we've seen good football, and I don't feel like that was it from the Titans. And I know the Titans are capable of it because I saw it for a day of practice at Tampa Bay. I know they are capable of going out there and playing good football. We saw it in the fourth quarter against Seattle. I saw it in the practice at Tampa Bay. I know that they're good enough to win a game. Like, I know they're good enough to win convincingly. I know they are good enough to win against the Jets and the Jags the next 2 weeks without Julio Jones and without us having to sweat our rear ends off. I am convinced of it. But we just haven't seen it. And that's the thing that I feel like bothers me about yesterday's game. So, I don't know. Like, what's the line and how to accurately describe it? Because if we're talking about are the Titans contenders, I can tell you, I watched the Titans yesterday, and then I watched the Rams. And I think there is a big difference between what I saw out of those two teams yesterday. And then I saw the Packers. And those teams are contenders. And that's who I'm comparing you to. Not can you beat the Jets, the Jags, the Colts, you know, the contenders. I promised phones, so let's go to them. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. What do we have in our text line? Phone lines are driven, by the way, on Reaction Monday, delivered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
I bring up this text because I've seen something along the same lines, around three or four texts in the text line. And this one from Tom from Clarksville, he says, you take away the three turnovers and it is a blowout by Tennessee. Indy's offense never looked in sync for almost the entire game. I we've had a few texts like this, like take away the turnovers and Tennessee would have blown them out. That's not how it works. You don't get just take away the blemishes from your team and look at all of the good things. Because if you can't take away the turnovers.
The turnovers are what pissed me off about yesterday's game.
That's the problem.
Ryan Tannehill, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but Ryan Tannehill threw Indianapolis back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, the truth is, as I said yesterday on Twitter, and I don't think, like I know that I'm, like, prone to hyperbole sometime. I don't think I've ever been this disappointed with Ryan Tannehill in a game as the quarterback of the Titans. They went to Green Bay last year. And it snowed, and Tannehill was terrible. But I wasn't so disappointed with Tannehill as much as I was, he just can't play in the snow. Like, he just doesn't know how to do it. He's a quarterback who grew up in Texas, played his college ball there, played in Florida, in Miami, and has played in Nashville, Tennessee. He doesn't play in the snow. And you look at his stats in, you know, when he was in Miami, in New England and in Buffalo in cold weather games in that Green Bay game, he's just not a good cold weather quarterback. He's got some of the smallest hands in the league at the starting quarterback position. And you watch Rodgers, who knows how to play in the snow, and it's just totally different. It's like trying to drive in the snow. So I wasn't mad at Tannehill for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not mad at Tannehill for the Chester Rodgers interception. But I thought Tannehill, this was the worst he played. And you go back to, well, take out the turnovers. And
you can't. And that's not how it works.
But that's what Ryan Tannehill is supposed to do, is not turn the football over. Like, that's his strength. His strength is that he doesn't give the other team opportunities. And that's what they did yesterday. And that's losing football. And I felt like yesterday, and I ask everybody to do this that's listening today, and it's like, hey, we weren't that bad, Jared. We beat the Colts. It's okay. Calm down, and you might be right. And in the NFL, everything should be close. generally speaking. Mm-hmm. You know, blowouts are going to happen, but the NFL, most every game is supposed to be close, even with just the wretchedly bad teams. But think about this. How did you feel yesterday in the third and fourth quarter of the game? And I'm talking to, like, the fans. Mm-hmm. Like, in your cars right now, or listening on the app, or watching on YouTube, or how did you feel in the third or fourth quarter yesterday? I mean, my rear end was puckered up thinking, oh, my God, they've been given a golden opportunity by the football gods, and they're going to lose the Indianapolis Colts. And I never thought that losing was going to happen, but I kept feeling like as the game progressed that the possibility of losing became a lot more likely. And I don't think the Titans did a whole lot outside of some of those runs Tannehill had at the end. I'm not sure the Titans did a whole lot to win a game that they had no business losing. We're to your phones next. Reaction Monday is delivered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, 615-737-1025. We'll get to your calls as well. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Let me tell all the fine folks, support Stars on Saturday, October 16th by running, walking, or boogieing the Nashville Striders 21st Annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Runner Walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, or show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. Stillman and Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Turnover there, Ryan. Is that one of those situations where you just try to erase that, say, you know, that happens and can't dwell on it kind of thing?
Yeah, no doubt. Had a miscommunication there with our receivers. So, like I say every week, you know, no matter good or bad, you have to be able to flush the play and move on to the next one. You know, we weren't on the same page there, and it hurt us. But can't dwell on it. It was early in the game. Defense, you know, played well, kept us in it, and a lot of football to play. So can't dwell on any one bad play.
What do you think was going to happen, or maybe what should have happened in that situation on that play?
Yeah, we had two guys right there in the middle and just weren't on the same page.
That was Ryan Tannehill talking about the miscommunication yesterday and the interception. Hey, you know, it's miscommunication. It happens. Got to move on. Got to turn the page. When Tannehill threw that ball, I almost wanted to chuck some furniture yesterday.
Did you?
No. Did I want to, or did I actually?
Did you actually?
No, but I wanted to. But, I mean, I could hear Floyd when that happened. And he was, I mean, I could hear him just screaming. About there, every now and then there are certain things where it's like, well, so-and-so didn't. And he'll say, this is the NFL? Like, this is the NFL. And I can find high school kids who will throw that ball away. This is the NFL? And I could just hear Floyd just screaming when Tannehill cocked the ball back, realized there was something screwed up, didn't throw it. Then stood there, thought for a second, and, like, wasn't even in an athletic position to throw the football. Was just, like, so in shock.
He was, yeah.
And then he threw it anyways.
Facing forward.
Well, he threw it anyways right to the Colts guy and let him right back into the game. And I'm just telling you, I could hear Floyd, like, I could hear Floyd losing his marbles on that interception. Vrabel was asked about the interception today. Vrabel's response to this, I think, should tell you all you need to know. This was Vrabel today.
First interception by Ryan. I know it didn't sound like you were obviously too pleased about it yesterday. I wonder if you got a chance to look at it.
I'm still not as pleased with it.
Sure. Did you get a chance to look at it again on tape? And
I'd seen it once. I didn't need to watch it twice.
Was there, like Ryan mentioned, there was like kind of a miscommunication.
There you go.
Okay.
The guy throwing the ball says it was miscommunication. Guess who am I to tell you any differently?
I mean, Vrabel's telling you right there, like, hey, you know, Ryan said yesterday that it was, what did you think of it when you went back? And I had to see that crap one time, is what he's saying. I had to see it once. And did you hear right there where he said yesterday you weren't very happy about the Tannehill? I'm still not happy about it.
Still not over
it. So to everybody making an excuse into the text line about, well, you know, they miscommunicated and Tannehill did that. Vrabel's telling you what you need to know about that. Vrabel's thinking the exact same thing that I think that Floyd would have said. And there's a lot of things that I've thought about. Like, I wonder how Floyd would feel about this. There are some things that I just know he wouldn't be okay with. Like, Jeff Swaim is a starting tight end. He would not be okay with that. And that throw, oh, my goodness. And all the complaining I've done today, he wouldn't be okay with that either because of how hard it is to win in the NFL. But that throw from Tannehill, That was bad. That right there let Indy right back into the ball game, and I just don't think it can happen. Let's go to your phone since I promised phones, and I've been doing a lot of promising and not a lot of delivering as of late. So let's get right to it. 615-737-1025.
Well, one texter texts in and says, Tannehill made two bad throws. Quit crying. It was two bad throws. To the texter's point, it was two bad throws that the Colts were able to capitalize on and put points on the board for.
No, it was one bad throw that the Colts were able to capitalize on.
One bad throw?
Yeah, the second bad throw was Tannehill going down where he threw the ball just aimlessly in the middle of the field, and it fell about a yard in front of Jeremy McNichols. But had there been any – I mean, he just, like, lofted the ball up there.
Yeah.
And he was going down for a sack, but he didn't want to take the sack, so he just kind of threw the ball up there, and it didn't – nobody caught it. But had the Indianapolis – had it, I mean, that's a 50-50 ball at that. But that's a – that's like when you're playing out in the backyard and you're playing the game 500 and you're like – 400, and you just throw it up in the middle. I mean, that's a jump ball, basically, just out there aimlessly in the middle of the field. Tannehill's trying to throw the ball away to not take the sack. And you would say, well, I mean, it wasn't that bad of a play, Jared, because the ball just landed aimlessly on the turf. Remember in the Arizona game when Ryan Tannehill tried to throw the ball away because he was about to get sacked, and Chandler Jones just put his hand out there, and then he fumbled it, and Chandler Jones picked it, or somebody from Arizona picked it up at the one-yard line and ended up being a touchdown? Because that's what happens. Tannehill's got to take the sack. Tannehill's performance, I think Tannehill's performance yesterday was terrible. Was truly terrible. And I don't think, as a guy who I feel like has defended Ryan Tannehill pretty vigorously over the last couple of years, I can't accept that performance yesterday because it was flawed with its decision-making. More so than the talent. When they went into the AFC Championship game and they were up 17-7 and the defense at that point couldn't get a stop anymore, and they tried before that half to run the clock out with Derrick Henry, and Kansas City loaded the box, and then Mahomes and Andy Reid took the air out of the ball running it, and now you're down 11 and the clock is going. Like, Tannehill's not going to throw you 330 yards back into that game. And I'm not going to hold that against Tannehill, because that's not what I ask him to do. But when your decision-making is bad and it leads to turnovers for the other team and it costs you a game and you can't be a bad decision-maker, then I'm really disappointed. And I go back to the Ravens game where Tannehill misses Cameron Batson on 3rd-and-2 standing right in the middle of the field of the playoffs. Instead tries to throw it to Jonnu Smith. And I'm hard on Tannehill for that because you can't do that. When you're not as gifted as the other guy, you have to be smarter. And I just felt like Tannehill's decision-making yesterday was abysmal. And I would like us to be able to be honest with ourselves about our own team. Like, I would like for us to sit there and say, I can't tell you how many primary care doctors have probably overweight patients. And every time they're like, hey, you're 247 pounds, we need you to be more around 185 pounds. And that person, well, it's just so tough because I'm just so stressed out with my job and it's hard to find healthy options and I don't like to cook and I have this and I have that. And and they probably hear that every single day.
And they probably say, well, I don't care.
Well,
you need to lose weight.
I don't think doctors say that.
Well, in their heads they might do.
Probably. But yeah. I don't think you tell somebody that because then they won't do it. But the point is that those are just all excuses. So, for me, I think we have a pretty clear picture of what Ryan Tannehill is. And I think that as I continue to preach honesty about Tannehill's performance, I think we've got to be honest. I thought Tannehill might have the capability of leading you back in a game where you're losing. Like, 27-13 in the fourth quarter, and Tannehill can hit some shots, and you get back in the game and Tannehill win you. And I've decided this season, I know what Tannehill is. Derrick Henry can get you back in a game. Tannehill cannot get you back in a game.
Tannehill has not. I don't think it means that he cannot.
I don't think he can. How many chances do you get? This is his third season being quarterback of the Titans.
I don't know how many chances you get.
How many chances do you get to throw somebody back in a big game? Tannehill's never done it. So he can, if the game's close, he can win it for you. But I don't think he can just go out there and 450 you without Derrick Henry into winning a big ball game. You can beat a bad team, maybe. But Tannehill is a complementary player to Derrick Henry. And the one thing that that makes Tannehill so good for this team is the decision-making. And yesterday, the decision-making was bad. And the interception led Indianapolis back into the game. He had the one terrible throw that he ended up not getting, you know, not having to pay for. I don't blame him on the Chester Rogers pass in his belly that popped into the air for an interception. I know at the end of the day that that goes against the quarterback. I'm not holding that one against Tannehill. But then the refusal to slide, like, that's not funny to me. Like, I think after the game, you know, Tannehill, Ian, can we get Tannehill talking about not sliding yesterday after the game? Where I think Tannehill, and this is like the sixth time that there's been an issue where Tannehill's done something like this, and after the game has been like, yeah, you know, Vrabel's, you know, not very happy about it, but, you know, do you have that, Ian? This is Tannehill after the game.
Any of them, I mean, I guess you got every yard you could get. Well, what's your mentality when you're kind of in the open field, and do you ever get a word from Vrabel around the sideline about how you protect yourself?
Yeah, I got some words from Vrabel, and I'm sure I'll get more tomorrow when we're watching the tape. But yeah, I try not to take any big hits. Obviously, try to be smart with it. You know, if I can get on an edge or on a shoulder and it's not going to be a big hit, then, you know, I'm all right with it. But definitely don't want to take one square. I think that second one, he caught me pretty square, and definitely should have slid that one time. So, you know, you look at those, and then the last one right on the sideline, you know, trying to get the first down and stay in bounds there. So, you know, didn't really think a slide was a good option there.
So, like, I don't think that's funny. Like, I don't think that there's any element of this that is not serious, because it's all, you know, hey, Tannehill's tough. Tannehill stands up for the team. And then it's Logan Woodside for 6 weeks. And then it's not funny at all to anybody. And so I'm disappointed. Like, I'm truly, like, the more I talk myself through this, I'm really disappointed in Ryan Tannehill's performance yesterday. Like, it's almost like comparing this to a student, right? Like, I wasn't the smartest student in the world. You know, I mean, I have decent grades, but I was never, you know, like, you could put things in front of me, I'll never be able to learn. You know, like, there will be certain elements of, you could put calculus in front of me, and I will never be able to learn it. I don't have a problem with somebody that tries and then, you know, isn't able to learn the material.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with somebody when, like, their thought process is kind of flawed. And so for Tannehill yesterday to sit there and talk about tough win, team win, way to... And I'm like, dude, you panicked on one throw that was an interception. You panicked on another one that you're lucky it didn't get interception. But by no grace of you, you know, was it not a pick? You took two hits when you should have slid. I mean, those things bother me, because if you keep that thought process, if you continue that thought process over time, eventually it's going to bite you in the rear end. And I feel like, again, we have to be honest about what the Titans do. And when people write up stupid lists that have Cam Newton as a better quarterback than Ryan Tannehill, like, I'm going to call it stupid. But I thought yesterday, given the circumstances, I thought Tannehill, that the performance in which he played was not to the standard that is winning football from him. So I guess I'm a little worked up about it.
No, you seem like you're worked up about it. But I do think that you have to look at the other side, too. Tannehill did set up three touchdowns. You have to give him credit for that. And, yes, I know he threw two interceptions, one that was absolutely horrendous. And, yes, he made some bad decision-making and used some bad judgment in not sliding.
But, see, I didn't crap on Tannehill last week for not throwing a touchdown pass.
So, like, you're not going to sing his praises for scoring three touchdowns this week?
I didn't feel like those touchdown passes. I mean, the Rodgers one was – I mean, the Westbrook-Akina one was wide open. The McNichols one, I don't know – you know, I'd have to go back and look at it. But, like, I'm not going to – like, I thought Tannehill was excellent in Seattle last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't sit there and, well, you know, but he didn't have a touchdown. So I'm not going to look at those three touchdowns and say, well, nope, three touchdowns makes it all good.
And we're not knocking Derrick Henry for not scoring a touchdown this week.
No.
He was outstanding.
Derrick Henry was the best player on the field, and everybody knew it. And that is usually an advantage. All right, I see all the texts and the calls, and we'll get to them. I promise this time for real. 615-737-1025, plus Joe Rexroad's mad at me. We'll get to that, too, I guess. Stillman and Company. Ian, am I supposed to tell somebody about how great something is right now? Okay, let me, though, tell everybody out there about the fact that Reaction Monday is presented by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? We can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of the two free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October 5th or 6th. For the past 33 years, he's helped hundreds of companies find newer, more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees. Learn new recruitment strategies, enjoy a continental breakfast, and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info and to sign up. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stillman & Company Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. Titans Monday. Do you want a pair of tickets to see the Predators take on the Sharks at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, October 26th? Head over to YouTube and subscribe to the 102.5 The Game YouTube page, and you'll enter for your chance to see the Predators take on the Sharks. One winner will be chosen on Monday, October 4th. By the way, we are live today, Stillman & Company, at the Bode Hotel, 401 2nd Avenue South, SoBro, south of Broadway. Come hang out with us. We're here till 6 o'clock, and you can win a pair of tickets to see the Predators and a two-night stay in a two-bedroom at the Bode Nashville for an upcoming Preds game at Bridgestone Arena. Pretty excited about that. I promised phones, so without further ado, phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ian is up next on Ryan Tannehill. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Ian.
Hey, Jared. Hey, Caroline. I hope you all are doing well today.
Yep.
I just wanted to call and just kind of counter what you were saying about Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, he threw two interceptions, but however, he ran, five carries for 56 yards. He also utilized the receivers that were on the field. He could have easily given up, knowing that A.J. Brown was out and Julio Johnson played as much. He could have easily given up, but he utilized what he had out on the field. So I don't get where you were saying that he was like absolute garbage and trash this week. Like, I totally do not accept that. So
I don't get where you get this idea that he could have given up. What do you mean he could have given up? He makes $30 million a year.
I mean, look, if any other quarterback that you said that's on the tier that Tannehill is would have easily given up, they wouldn't have kept the Titans in the game.
Who? Carson? I think Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is a much worse quarterback than Ryan Tannehill. He didn't have Quentin Nelson or T.Y. Hilton yesterday, and he could barely move, and he didn't give up. What are you talking about giving up?
Ryan Tannehill did what he had to do to get us a W yesterday. So I don't get where you said that he had an F, like an F grade. Like, where you talking to yourself, he just went out there and it just totally just tanked.
I wouldn't give Tannehill an F, and I appreciate your call. I wouldn't give Tannehill an F. I'm not sure I'd give him much more than a C.
I was thinking C plus.
I don't think, dude, you cannot throw that ball in the middle of the field yesterday. Like, that's the thing that gets me, right? Like, I'm not asking Tannehill to put a 50-yard strike on the dime to Cam Batson. I'm asking him not to gift wrap 7 points to the Indianapolis Colts. Like, just, I mean, he's standing there with the ball. You are a veteran NFL quarterback. I was telling somebody this the other day about how I feel as far as comfort on the radio is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
When I first started doing this here at 102.5, I had a co-host, and that was like a month, and then he left. And so I did 3 hours for an entire year by myself. And at times, I felt like I was just trying to get through the 3 hours. Like, I was just trying to get from 9 to noon and be interesting and find a way to fill it, because it's hard to do this thing by yourself. And so I was just trying to do that. Then I started doing this show, and it was a 4-hour show, and it got easier. And I just felt like over time, you know, there are certain things that you can kind of do it. You can multitask things, or you can see things coming, or you know how to do different things. And when Floyd left, I was like, okay, can I do this for 4 hours solo? I know I can do 3 hours solo.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do 4 hours solo? And I had some people fill in and whatever. And then I kind of realized, like, yeah, I can do the 4 hours by myself. And then all of a sudden, there's other things you can do. You can hear yourself as if you're like a listener listening to you host a radio show. And I listen to other people that don't have as much experience, and I can see where they are in that growth and development process. Ryan Tannehill has been in the NFL for a decade. So when he stands back there in the pocket and sees that his receivers have run the wrong route, clearly there was a miscommunication, or Hudson or McNichols didn't know what to do, and they both ran together. So when I see two guys that are borderline practice squad players running into each other in the middle of a route, and I'm standing there, and I'm so shocked by it that I'm like fully upright, and completely just, you know, just, you know, standing, you know, in, not,
in disbelief.
I was going to say, like, I mean, this word does mean that. Like, he's totally erect, just standing there in the pocket.
Don't make it weird.
Well, but I mean, that's the right word to use.
It is the, it's, and yes,
so he's,
it's a
standing
word.
There, just standing there, and there's those two guys, and he's got the football, and you can tell he's clearly shocked. Like, he clearly is like, oh my God, oh my God. Well, you know, you've been through this enough in the NFL that you know, eat the football. You know it. Like, it should be second nature to where you should know, oh dear God. And if you get an intentional grounding, you do. If you throw it at the guy's foot, you do. You know, whatever.
At least you don't turn over the football.
Dude, there was one yesterday where he dropped back and just chucked it out of the back of the end zone. Good. Like, that's what you do in this league. And he knows that. So for him to throw that interception is just so bad. And it's like everybody's okay with it because it didn't cost you the game. So, well, hey, they won, so who cares? And I'm like, the bad habits or the bad decisions that you make in a game can hurt you. And you all are going to be just as mad when it does hurt as I am today. And I'm looking at it like, I hope Vrabel gets in that rear end of, you know, when they go over the film breakdown today. I hope Vrabel gets in his quarterback's rear end because Ryan Tannehill tried to jump through two defenders to get into the end zone against Jacksonville a couple years ago. Last year, he stuck the ball out, exposing his throwing arm, and took a helmet to the shoulder against Detroit, and now he won't slide. That's a big deal. If he goes down, the entire franchise is screwed. And so, like, as I know I've said a couple of times, like, I don't think this is very funny. And I don't think it's like, well, you know, hey, Jared, they won the game.
It's not like, look at Tannehill, tough guy, who's willing to go shoulder first into a linebacker. That's, no.
If they win the Super Bowl, you will not hear me ever worry about, well, what about this DB that dropped this interception? You won't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But we're far away from the Super Bowl. And that game yesterday, that game gets you beat against a good team. Against a decent team in the NFL. Like, I don't know, the Rams, the Bills, the Chiefs, who you play all in a row, get you beat.
I do have a thought. You mentioned at the beginning of the show, do the Titans play up to opponents and do they play down to opponents? So you say you play like that yesterday against the Rams, against the Bucks, against the Bills, against the Chiefs. You lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they play like that against those teams?
How many good teams do you know that win championships that play up or down to the level of their opponent?
Not very many.
When you were at LSU and they won the national title with Joe Burrow at quarterback, they ever play down to their opponent?
Never.
See what I'm saying? Like, that's why I look at the Georgia Bulldogs right now, and I think they're a legitimate national championship contender because they don't play down to their opponents. I don't believe in playing down to your opponents and playing up to your opponents, and that to me is usually the sign of a pretender. And sometimes I think we have to differentiate the final score from the way that a team plays. I didn't even think they played particularly well in the Seattle game. We talked about the mistakes that they made. It's like, I know it's there. Like, I know it's there. I know the Titans have it in them. And I just want to see them put that together because, like, right now, the defense, like, they didn't have Christian Fulton last year, or whoever Christian Fulton is now, he wasn't the same guy last year. And they've got, you know, Ola Adeniyi and Harold Landry, and I'm still a believer in Bud Dupree. And when he gets out there, I think that they can go get after some of these quarterbacks. If you had the offense you had last year and you can get after the quarterback a little bit, you go from pretender to contender. And it looks like Kansas City's down a peg, and it looks like Buffalo may not be as good as they were last year, though. You know, we've always talked about September football and teams will get better. And I think the Titans have plenty of room to get better.
Oh, 100%.
But I'm not going to blindly look at yesterday's game where I thought if the AFC South is a four-team race where almost everybody is lumping two teams on the good end and two teams on the bad end, that Indianapolis team yesterday, and that may not be what they are for the whole course of the season, but that team yesterday was a lot closer to Jacksonville and Houston than I think they should be to the Titans. And that game was way too close, and the Titans let Indy in. And I thought the Titans made just mistakes that they can't make. The same kind of mistakes that they made against the Cardinals that led you all to boo them. You know, those, that's, you know, because the Cardinals are a better team than that. and you make those mistakes with a Chandler Jones. See, this is what I'm talking about. You make these mistakes with a Chandler Jones, it's a touchdown for them.
Mm-hmm.
You make the mistakes against this Colts team,
they might score. They might kick a field goal.
And that's the difference. And that's the difference to me is I'm looking at this like, okay, you know, what are the Titans going to be? We're back to your phones next. 615-737-1025. And, I mean, we have just been flying today on Reaction Monday. Again, we are live at the courtyard at the Bode Nashville Hotel. Again, come on by. We're in the courtyard. Hang on by here. Swing on by here, and you can register to win all of those tickets. Let me tell all the fine folks out there to join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and families through this inspirational nationwide movement as we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN.
Third and goal. Tannehill fires. McNichols got a step. Touchdown! Jeremy McNichols!
That was the Jeremy McNichols, I mean, essentially the game-winning touchdown. The Titans were always ahead, but that McNichols one was pretty much the ballgame. We're live from Bode, Nashville. Again, swing on by and register to win a pair of Preds tickets and a two-night stay in a two-bedroom downtown here at the Bode Nashville. I promised phone, so let's get right back to him. 615-737-1025 on Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling.
One texter texts in and says, okay, got it, Jared. So Tannehill is never allowed to mess up or make one bad throw. What about the 18 completions he had that led to three touchdowns?
So I would say this in response to that. Tannehill's going to throw interceptions. Tannehill's going to make bad decisions.
Quarterbacks make bad decisions and throw interceptions.
There's a difference between a bad decision and, like, the absolutely positively can't do it.
You know, and a, like, potentially game-altering decision.
Isn't there, like, a line with most things in life where it's like, you know, you probably shouldn't do that, but if you do, like, okay. And then the, no, if you do that, like, it's over. And that's how I felt about the Tannehill interception. Or Tannehill going down and panicking and throwing the football to the mm-hmm. other team. He had one of those last year against the Ravens where it was either Henry or McNichols missed on the blitz and the linebacker was coming right at him. I think it was Patrick Queen was coming at him, and he just threw the ball right into the arms of Tyus Bowser. And, I mean, it really could have hurt. They ended up winning that game in overtime. But, like, those kind of, like, my quarterback can't panic. And if my thought process is that the quarterback's going to panic, now I'm worried.
And then makes it more difficult for your team to win that game.
Yep.
I think we said last week, and I would reiterate it again, it was the Titans' game to lose. And I think that it was the Titans' game that they made more difficult for themselves.
Were you surprised how bad Indy was?
No.
I was. I mean, I was. That,
I expected them to be pretty damn bad.
They gave Jonathan Taylor the ball 10 times.
That is bad. I mean, that's just bad OCing.
I mean, that's just, I just, I don't know. Everybody loves Frank Reich. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, I believe 100% this team knows its identity, but just can't seem to use it in a game. We saw a glimpse of it against the Seahawks, but I would like to see that every game.
When does this become an issue? Like, when do we get to the point to where we're like, okay, the fact that the Titans haven't clicked yet for us is rather obvious? When does it become a legitimate problem? Week 8, week 10, the playoffs?
I mean,
for last year, the third down defense was the problem. And every year there's going to be a different problem. You know, like, one year you think your offensive line is really, really good, and then the next year, you know, you go into the whole offseason saying, our offensive line is so good that you don't worry about it, and then your line's not good anymore, and then it's like, oh, we have the worst offensive line now. And the third down defense this year is much better than it was last year. Right now, I think the issue is the sloppiness. Now, we talked about the fact that they didn't practice very much. And I read, you know, in the Indy paper, or I think it was the Athletic article that you sent me from Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
that was like, you know, I think they're having a realization that while they could sugarcoat it and lollipop it about, well, Wentz and Nelson and these guys are going to miss practice, but it'll be fine, that they're realizing, no, like, missing practice is a big deal. Like, missing practice is going to hurt you in the NFL. And I think the Titans had a lot of missing practice, and I think that's probably led to some of the sloppiness. Last year, they started off 3-0. They played Minnesota. They beat them on a field goal at the end of the game, And we didn't think Minnesota was as god-awful as they ended up being. And I remember not doing the show that Monday because it was Yom Kippur. I come back on Tuesday, and I said, like, look, I know the Titans are 3-0, and I love 3-0, and I'm happy about 3-0, but I just don't think they're very good. And the phone lines lit up, and everybody was, oh, Jared, we're 3-0. We're this. We're that. We're... And I was like, right, but with this team, I don't think there's an area of the ball club that is a humongous red flag. Like, I think the defense can win you some games now. I mean, this defense is so much better. I think the offense can win you. So I like your quarterback. I love the running back. I think he might be the best player in the sport. Special teams, I can't stand the coordinator, but I don't think that they're going to be so bad that it kills you outside of maybe kicking the football. But it's just the sloppy stuff. It's just the naked boot where Ryan Tannehill turns around, exposes the football, trying to get rid of it to Chandler Jones, who just puts his hand up, knocks it away, and it's a fumble inside your own five-yard line. It's a missed blocking assignment by Nate Davis last week against Seattle where Bobby Wagner just goes unblocked and crushes Ryan Tannehill. It's those little things that can become much bigger issues against tougher competition. And last year, that was a problem when you played better teams down the stretch. And so that's where I'm bothered right now is, I mean, don't you think that the Titans are every bit as good as Denver or the Raiders? Or, I mean, September football is weird and funky, but I think you can make the claim that, like, you know, the AFC is kind of like a up for grabs a little bit. And I think you can look at the NFC, and the Rams right now look like the hot team, but they barely beat that Colts team last week. And so everybody who's going to love on the Rams forgets that they barely beat the Colts. And that shows you how tight this is in the NFL. And that's why the mental errors are the issue. The mental errors. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina fumbles the ball at the 6-yard line. That's losing football. I mean, you need points on that drive. And that's the kind of thing. But I'm not looking at Nick Westbrook-Ikhina to be the guy who carries the Titans past the Buffalo Bills. I am looking at Ryan Tannehill to be the guy who carries the Titans past the Buffalo Bills, along with Derrick Henry and the rest. And so that's where I think I'm bothered by it is everybody's all happy today that they got contributions from guys that you're not used to getting them from. David Long Jr., Ola Adeniyi, Chester Rogers, Jeff Swaim, Jeremy McNichols. And that's great. But the guy I'm pumped about is Christian Fulton.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Christian Fulton just went mano-a-mano with DK Metcalf. And I thought played a great game yesterday. And I'm starting to feel in my heart like he could be your number one corner. And if you've got a number one corner and you're playing the Buffalo Bills and you can put your number one corner on Stephon Diggs or you can put your number one corner on Tyreek Hill or you can put them on Ruggs in Oakland or in Vegas, okay, now we're talking. So that's kind of how I look at this where everybody's like, look at the positive, Jared. I'm like, I understand. I do. I'm thinking bigger picture here. And the Titans are going to improve. They should improve. They've always improved under Vrabel. But those are the things that have to get done.
I mean, I said 4 weeks. 4 weeks should be kind of the landmark for, okay, what is this team? What can these expectations be? After 4 weeks, you have enough experience on the field, in practice, gelling together, especially with all of the newer assets that this team has acquired in the offseason. 4 weeks, that's enough time to start meshing and finding your identity, and then we can say, okay, these are realistic expectations for the Titans. And I think especially going into a 2-week stretch against the Jets and then again against the Jags, that is an opportune time. That is week 4 and week 5 for the Titans to get their footing. If they cannot find their identity, if they can't be consistent and reliable against the Jets and the Jags, I think that exactly shows what this team is. They can't be consistent. They can't be reliable.
What have I told both of you about this Jets game?
It could be sneaky.
No, I'm scared to death. Scared to death.
The Jets are so bad.
Scared to death. You remember that that Browns team that went 0-16?
Mm-hmm.
Ian, tell Caroline what happened when the Titans played that 0-16 Browns team.
The 0-16 Browns team?
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure where you're going with this. I'm sorry.
They won an overtime. They had to go into overtime to beat the 0-16 Cleveland Browns.
And weird things happen.
That's so
weird things happen.
And that game was a big moment where it opened a lot of our eyes to maybe the Titans weren't as good as we thought they were. And I've never heard more complaining about a team than I did that 2017 Titans team that was 8-4 and everybody wanted to fire the coach. Like, that is how the, like, I'm just saying, we have to apply, we have to keep it real all the time. And I'm happy they're 2-1, but let's not get it twisted. Yesterday's game, Indianapolis, yesterday's game was, in my opinion, there were some issues. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, what do we make of the fact that the Titans have pretty much a three-game lead on the Indianapolis Colts and are in the driver's seat on September 27th of the division? We'll discuss that next. Stillman and Company, we're live from the Boat Hotel right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.